In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As I was looking at Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, as I mentioned last week, one of my favorite books, favorite letters, epistles, use whatever term you want. As I looked at it, I realized there's a saying that keeps coming up in our lives, in my life maybe more than yours, and I think it applies, but you can let me know later. Paul is giving some guidelines, and if you have one of these Bibles that breaks everything out with a little heading, it says, rules for the new life. And I think sometimes we forget, and again, as you probably figured out, when I say we, I usually mean me, that we have a new life. So often what we hear when somebody's struggling through their life and things aren't going well, normally when we aren't doing it very well, we will say, I'm only human, right? And I would say, well, to be only human, I mean, how wonderful would that be? God created us as human beings in the garden, walking with him. When we say we're only human, what we mean is we're only a fallen human. If we were truly human, we would be walking in God's will, amen? But we don't all the time. I mean, we have moments, I hope, from time to time when we can actually manage this. But Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, here's some guidelines for you to help you in this new life, this reconciliation with God that has been made possible through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Here is a way, and here's some guidelines for you. And he starts with verse 25. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And he adds, and do not make room for the devil. Those are important words. We've all heard that. Anybody who's been in long-term relationship or maybe someone who's gotten married along the way, and they would always say, don't ever go to bed angry. Well, I've been married a while. I think that may have happened once or twice. But the fact of the matter is, in most cases, if we think about the times when we're doing these things that Paul is saying don't do, and he'll have more to say about that later, by the way, as he talks about how we speak and the way in which we behave and the way in which we care for others. Very often, there are times we can keep ourselves in check. So what we hear first is Paul saying, be honest. Put away falsehood. Speak in truth. And that's not only to one another, but it's also be truthful and honest with yourself and truthful and honest with God. That's where we're going to discover some hard things, by the way. That's when we're going to discover, as I did just yesterday, after doing some work around the house, up to and including rearranging the attic. I mean, who has to do that, right? So that we could fit more important things in the attic. Now, strangely, I was not in a spectacular mood when I came out of the attic. I think I was 3 pounds lighter. And I wasn't the best conversationalist. Now, I could have taken that at face value and allowed myself to become more anxious and frustrated. Or I could realize, I've just been in the attic, and I am hot, and the weather which is coming out of my mouth at the moment, and the feelings that I have are based on that, not anything else. Honesty, taking responsibility for ourselves and our actions and our words, and being able to do that with one another because we are belonging to one another. So when a brother or sister is sort of acting out of sorts, maybe we could look beyond whatever's coming out of their mouth immediately and maybe look towards their heart. And maybe we could allow them to look to ours. Now, our mission team is here today. They're going to show you and tell you more about what went on down in Dominican Republic. I've done a fair amount of mission work in my life, locally, nationally, internationally, and almost every time in that process, because you're really out there, by the way. People get stretched, they get tired, and shockingly, sometimes irritated. And you have to regroup. I can remember I was leading a youth mission south of here after a hurricane, believe it or not. And I had to go off site for a time, and I came back, and my team was split. Half of them were on one side of a trailer that we were working on, and the other half were on the other side. I thought, well, that's rather inefficient for what we're trying to do, so I kind of walk over and I'm listening. I could have just jumped on them and said, what are you doing? We're never going to get it done. I walked over, I listened to them, what they were saying on this side of the trailer, and all they did were talking about the people on the other side. So I went over to the other side and listened to what they were talking about. They were talking about all the people on the other side. So we had a problem. So I stood in front of the trailer, and you may or may not know this, but I can whistle really loud. And I whistled. So they all know, oh, we need to come and find out what's going on. So they all come around front, and I pointed out to them. In our frustration, in our being tired and hot and all the rest of it, we are nurturing our anger and our frustration, and we are doing exactly what Paul says don't do. Do not make room for the devil. See, if we're not careful and we feed that aggravation and that anxiety in our lives, the evil one will step right in and tear everything down, up to and including a faith community. Amen? I mean, we've all seen it. If you're visiting, it's not happening here right now, so take a deep breath. If it is, nobody's being honest with me about it. But the fact of the matter is, it can happen if we let our guard down. We have to watch and be careful. We have to be seeking the will of God, not our own desires. And we have to be honest with ourselves, honest with one another, and most importantly, honest with God, so that we don't leave a space for the evil one to come and tear things apart. So we must be careful and we must be on guard. And because we don't just have a mission team that went to the Dominican Republic, we have a mission outreach every day as this faith community called Holy Innocence. And brothers and sisters, we are just going to be expanding that. So we need to be learning how to live this new life so that we can be as effective as possible in the work that God's given us to do. We got to watch out for the distractions, the ungodly behavior. Be honest about it. It's not easy. I have been known to make a sarcastic remark now and then. So you're getting to know me. What that means is pretty much every time I open my mouth. And sometimes I do that because I think I'm funny. And believe me, I know it's just me thinking I'm funny, and I'm perfectly okay with that. But there are times there's a little anger in there. And when that happens, I have to go back. Nobody knows that because they don't know if I'm joking or not. But when that little bit of anger's in there, I have to go back and say, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It's not easy to do, but it serves two purposes. It makes that person understand that I'm willing to own my mistakes. The other thing it does is it encouraged me never to talk that way. Because, man, I don't like having to go back and do that. So I think about that. How are my words affecting others? Be honest with ourselves. And he continues, you know, that goes to let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. God, in this process, and what Paul is saying with a lot more words, as he usually does, we are called to be obedient to God's will. His will is that we be reconciled to him. The way in which we are reconciled is also through him. It's his will, and he's provided us the tool through the power of the Holy Spirit. For that which Christ has done on the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be reunited to God and walk in his will. And he calls us to that, this concept of obedience. Thomas A'Kempis, about 500 years ago or so when he was around, strangely had good things to say even back then, in case you think anything ancient is just boring. He would often write in this particular book, The Imitation of Christ. I don't know if you've ever read it. If you haven't, you should get it. And not only read it, but use it. It's a really wonderful tool. And if you're honest with yourself while you're reading it, it will convict you, I promise. And maybe it will today. Part of me hopes. It convicts me. So sometimes when he's writing in this particular book, he's writing as a follower of Christ, and sometimes he's writing as if he's Christ. In this particular point, that is what he's doing. He's writing as if there's a little note for you, says Jesus. And this has to do with being obedient. He goes, so learn to obey, dust. Learn to humble yourself, earth and clay, and to think of others before you think of yourself. Learn to live in obedience, whether you like it or not. Stamp out your self-centered ways and rid yourself of your swollen pride. Do not feel superior to anyone, but place yourself at the service of all. And do not complain. After all, you have offended God so often that you doubtless deserve hell over and over again. But because your soul is precious to me, I have spared you. I have done so in order that you might understand my love and come to be always grateful for the gifts that I give you. I have done so in order that you might grow in true humility, not being concerned about what others may think of you. Those are good words. I know it's a lot. He's better at it than I am, which is probably why he got published. But we think about this. This is what God's calling us to. It's something that we don't talk enough about anymore. We are called to holiness. We are God's holy people called to holiness. We are not God's holy people by default. We only become holy when we work towards it through the process of sanctification. And in our tradition, that begins at our baptism. Even within our own tradition, if we went digging into our prayer book, we would hear within this, as we heard, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful. In the midst of all this, we also hear that we are sealed by this Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, he says, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Our sin will not separate us from God, amen? But I think it might make him a little sad from time to time. He may grieve the fact that not only has he reached out and taken hold of us, not only has he given us everything we need to come and be reconciled to him, there are still times when we walk away in sin and turn from him. And I think it breaks his heart. Many of us have parents, and many of us have worked with children in our lives. I mean, how many times have we tried to guide someone and that person just goes the other way? Now, sometimes what comes out from us is anger. But normally what's behind all that is sorrow. That this person isn't hearing what is best for them. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed. As a baptized Christian, if you're especially baptized in this tradition, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Happens right next to the font, after the water. This is something we understand and grab a hold of and claim within our faith tradition, and we hold tight to it. There's also another wonderful piece in here that comes right out of our prayer book, which strangely comes right out of Ephesians, as we work forward to this understanding what it means to lead this new life. It's a very common phrase for all of you. You hear it every week. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And then the part that should sound familiar. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You would hear it this way. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. That's what we call an offertory sentence. There are many of them. You hear that one mostly because that's the one I can remember. There's several. I'll memorize a few more as time goes on. But I like that one because it's short and it's simple. But I'm not sure we hear the depth of it all the time. Walk in love as Christ loved us. Okay. Then it tells you how he did it. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Through our baptism, we enter into this covenant relationship with God. A covenant relationship is a two-sided deal. I think you know that. So if you're in a covenant relationship visually, that means God has come this far in the form of Jesus Christ and said, walk in love as I've loved you. By his crucifixion, death, and resurrection on the cross. And he turns to us and says, and this is yours too. And he invites us to come to him and walk in love as he loved us and to give our lives back to him. And we say that just before we come to this table where we will sacramentally receive the very body and blood of Jesus. It's not just, this is how you know it's time to move ahead. Listen to the words. Listen to what it says. Know that it comes right out of Scripture. God is inviting you to take part in him so that we can be like him. And the only way that can happen is if we are obedient to that which he calls us to. Truthfulness, honesty, caring for one another, thinking of others before we think of ourselves. That is where lives are transformed. My life can only be transformed if I do something different in it than what I already know. Otherwise, it's just the same. We're given that invitation. Our mission team is here today to share with you the way in which they, in this particular instance, were obedient, or maybe disobedient, we'll hear, to what God's call was on their life for serving in the Dominican Republic. So I want to invite you to come forward. They even have a little video, too.